Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. My name is Rick Hopkins. I am chairman of CCTA and your host for Wake Up Call. Last week, we were talking with Dr. Jay Singleton about the Certificate of Need issue and the attempts by North Carolina legislators to write and pass legislation to get rid of the Certificate of Need requirement here in North Carolina, as many other states have done, or at least to modify the current legislation. And it was a very interesting topic and very interesting discussion that we had. So we're going to pick up here where we left off. And we left off, the question was, were there any surgery centers in the area? To which Dr. Singleton replied there was one in Moorhead. And the discussion goes on from there. So here again, Dr. Jay Singleton.
The funny thing is, if a hospital owns even a portion of your surgery center, and a lot of people try this, they say, well, let's do it. Let's do a kind of a joint venture with the hospital. And they say, well, why would you want to do that? So, well, we get paid more. All of a sudden, instead of $800 or $900, we get $2,200 per case because the hospital can ask for more. If you own it on your own, though, you get paid less. Now, people can complain about that all they want if they're a doctor, but that is helping patients. If you're allowed to go out there and say, look at this, this guy's going to do my surgery. And by the way, there's no loss of any care because I'm the same guy that would do it in the hospital. And at the hospital where we're at, you've got nurses and staff who, by the way, are amazing. I'm going to say that right now, who are doing an orthopedic surgery, a hand surgery, ear tubes, and then they get to you. So they can't possibly know as much as your own specialty folks that if you had your own clinic. Because eye surgery, and I use that as an example because it's my specialty, is very esoteric. It's in medical school, they don't teach you anything about eyes. You know, you learn that as you go to residency in ophthalmology. My staff knows, wait a second, don't do that. This patient, actually, that's a minus two, not a plus two. This patient is actually nearsighted, not farsighted. They can see mistakes before they happen. That's where when you have somebody in a multi-specialty clinic, they just go, well, you know, they told me to write this number down. And they do it. Yeah. Wow. And it's not their fault. It's just that they have absolutely no way of being trained well enough to do it day in and day out like an actual specialty clinic does. Mm-hmm. My surgeries are topical. They're not general anesthesia. So I don't need the type of certification that the hospital has. They have JCO certification for people that are being intubated, put to sleep. I don't need that. So because they have this higher level certification, if you go for a cataract surgery, you'll go there an hour and a half before your surgery for a 4-minute surgery. You'll be asked many questions like, do you feel safe in your home? Have you ever thought of suicide? Yeah. All these questions are just because they've been told to ask these to meet a higher level. You know, and so they're asking all these questions and they're putting you through this rigmarole for a surgery that is completely done with a gel in your eye and maybe a little bit of Versed for those who are nervous. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, many of us get nervous when somebody approaches their eye. You want to really take care of those patients, and really the medications we use are for nerves. But basically, it's something that could easily be done in the hospital. One of my colleagues in Goldsboro, one of the ophthalmologists there, he commonly tells legislators, he's like, what if every time, and I was lucky because of Michael Speciale, I had just gotten back from the dentist whenever I talked to him, but he said, what if every time you, at a filling or a teeth cleaning, you had to go to a surgery center and you had to pay that fee and a facility fee? And he said, well, that would be terrible. That's not right. And so he said, well, our surgeries are less invasive than that. Everybody's heard about when you have an artificial valve in your car, you have to have antibiotics before you have a teeth cleaning.
Right.
Because it can kill you if the bacteria gets in your bloodstream and gets to that valve, clings onto it, and then gives you endocarditis. There is no way you're going to die from one of my surgeries, you know, unless it was God's will that day. So I would really challenge them on every level, financial, safety. where do you get the really mean bacteria at? Do you get them in a doctor's office, or would you more commonly see them in
a filthy old hospital?
Yeah, and God bless them, because everybody that has really bad things has to go there.
Right.
But if I can do my surgery without having to introduce my patients to that atmosphere,
absolutely,
I would rather do it. Leave that for the patients who are dying.
What wonderful concepts. Yeah.
And so, you know, here's what it comes down to. The hospitals make money off of me. Millions and millions of dollars. I've done this surgery over 20,000 times, most of which in that hospital, many of which. And they've gotten money each time I've done it. And each time I've done it, I could have done it in my office. And each time I've done it, I could have saved at least half the money for people that did it. And the number two, just I know I'm monopolizing this, but I'm trying to give you as much information
as I can.
The second thing that we all look at is indigent care. We all know, I'm with you, I want personal responsibility, but for those of us who, for whatever reason, can't do it, can't make it, as a society, I think you're judged by how well you treat the weakest portions of your society.
Exactly.
And you know, if there's an indigent patient, for whatever reason, they need to get care. The latest reporting I have from our hospital system, and you can look online and see all the things I'm telling you, was a 2.5% indigent care.
That's pathetic.
It's massively low. Now, our bill that we put out every time has asked for at least a 7% indigent care. And it's something that we can achieve. It's something that I already achieve. I do easily that. We hold the Mercy Clinic in our office. And if a person in Mercy Clinic needs surgery, I do it. And I don't say, well, let's check with six different organizations. Let's check with the Services for the Blind, which I know are bankrupt. Why would I have them check with it? Just so I can buy more time to say no to them? Mm-hmm. I say, we're going to do surgery. And because of the way our healthcare system is, I do them all at the same time. I do the surgery. I take everything out of the room, and we put everything back in the room. Why do I do that? Because I know they're going to have to barter with the hospital for the facility fee, and I'd rather them pay one facility fee than two. Mm-hmm. And so I do it for free completely, and I have a massively solid track record on this. You can look at anybody that doesn't have insurance or is indigent. They have not been charged a penny by me.
We're going to have a fundraiser for Mercy Clinic this summer sometime.
Good. Yeah. My wife volunteers. Dr. Davidson's been working for them for years. I don't directly go there because I just get all the surgery from it and do it for free. So I figure that's my role in it.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I'll take up more of it when Dr. Davidson retires, if he ever does. He seems to be pretty happy with what he's doing right now.
Okay, we're going to pause right here for a short break to hear from our sponsors. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as we continue our conversation with Dr. Jay Singleton about the Certificate of Need controversy.
May I ask you another question about something I've observed at the county commissioners' meetings? They talk about a federally qualified health center. They've also got an application in to become a federally qualified health center. Mm-hmm. I think I've got that acronym right. And it seems to me that that's just another way of keeping competition private practices out.
It probably is. Now, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn because I'll say this throughout this, my key specialty is in ophthalmology, and most of the things I know about CON are through ophthalmic surgery. But if something is federal, it usually means that it has to be a Medicare certified facility.
Well, my understanding of it was, just from listening to them, was that if they had a federally qualified health center, they would be the only health center authorized to take Medicare and Medicaid patients.
Yep.
And that would cut out a lot of private competition for Medicaid patients.
Well, it would. Well, first of all, again, Medicare, Medicaid, it kind of is a free market when it comes to the fee for seeing a patient or for doing surgery on them. They're like, okay, you have earned that right. You're a surgeon. The problem is with the facility fee, which I would dare say is almost more important, because you have to pay the employees there. You can't do everything yourself. You have to pay to keep keep everything up to OSHA standards. To all these places have to be certified. Right. You would never want your relative to go to a nursing home, hospice, a surgery center, anything like that, dialysis center, which are also under the CON rules. You would never want them to go to a place like that that wasn't being certified and looked at yearly or biannually to make sure that everything is tip-top. But it takes money to do that, and that's where facility fees come in. So if you're not qualified with Medicare or Medicaid to get those facility fees, mm-hmm. you're right. And if your state makes it very difficult for you to be Medicare, federally certified basically,
right.
for those facility fees, you can't run the business.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Because if you look at a doctor or even a hospital's payroll, the money's only coming in from one place. A physician charging a patient or a physician doing a surgery and the patient paying for the physician fee and the facility fee.
So there's different businesses than dermatology and podiatry and even plastic surgery that do procedures in their own offices. How do they not have to go to a surgery center?
I get this question all the time. It's cash out of pocket. If you get cash money, you can open up one in a second. The problem arises whenever, like my patients are probably 85% Medicare, at least primary. The problem arises when you want to charge Medicare, Medicaid. So the devil's in the details. And I thought that in the beginning. I thought, well, hey, these plastic surgeons, they're like, well, the plastic surgeon in town said, well, you know, I don't even know if I'm even signed up for Medicare or Medicaid. You know, all my patients pay for the procedure. I have them high enough that there's a facility fee in there built in, and I use that to pay for my surgery center and my staff, and I don't even deal with them. If you have to, for instance, with me, plastic surgeons' fees, they're not even covered. So if you have a covered fee, if you have cataract surgery, see, if you have an insurance, you have to bill that insurance. You can't say, hey, we won't bill them this time. You have to bill for that. If you have to bill for it, then you have to be enrolled with them.
Oh boy!
And if you're enrolled with them, then you can get a surgeon fee. But if you want to be a facility, you have to go even further and get the facility fee. And that's where the details get really blurry. That's where all of a sudden somebody stands up and goes, can't do it, you don't have a CON.
Well, I had surgery on my nose, and I had to go to a plastic surgeon because I'd gone to dermatology, and they sent me to a plastic surgeon. They charged Medicare. He charged Medicare.
He may have been signed up. You got to remember, the plastic surgeons are classified as plastic and reconstructive surgeons. That's what they're called. And some people, there are surgeons who just do liposuction and breast implants, and they are not reconstructive surgeons, and many of them aren't even signed up with insurance. Now, if you do reconstructive surgery as well, like if you put skin back together after a cancer's been removed, or you yeah. fix something, then you have to be signed up with all these insurances, and then they will charge your insurance.
Okay.
But even they in this state had better hope they make enough from their plastic surgery side to run a surgery center if they have one, or it's going to go under, right. because there's no way to build a facility fee. That's why you go, well, gosh, why does that little plastic surgery in my face, why does it have to cost $5,000, $6,000? It's because they've got to run their clinic based on what you give them. The hospitals have gotten by with this for so long because you don't see the fees. They're hidden. They're deep down in there. Even if you get an EOB, the EOB just says what they charged. You know, they'll get a fraction of that. The surgeon will get a fraction of that. More recently, when I first got there to my practice, you know, you have these business folks that come over and tell you what to charge and everything. And to give you a little bit of, kind of like a salesman, like you said, showed
right,
up over there.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, they show up, and what the reason these charges get so high is because everybody knows what Medicare will pay. You know, Medicare will pay me about $675 to do an eye surgery. And I will give you these numbers because I believe in complete transparency in the healthcare system. But everybody, when I first got there, I looked at my charges. They were $2,500 for a cataract. I thought, why is that? And the business guy said, well, you never know. An insurance company may come by that is crazy enough to pay you that. And we want to, catch those guys.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what's the percentage of that?
Yeah.
You know? And he said, well, it's probably less than 1%. And I thought, well, that's crazy. And so I immediately knocked my charges down to, what does Blue Cross Blue Shield, what does Medicare pay? And I just put it right to there, you know, rough area. And I knocked away off that. Because I realized if I did see an indigent patient, or just somebody who had money who just wanted to say, look, I want to pay my way. I want to do what's right, but I want to pay what everybody else does. Then I wouldn't have to, by law, charge $2,500. So I knocked mine down. I've been one of the only physicians who actually does that. And I saw that in healthcare, too. I've had relatives that have had surgery at our hospital, and they didn't have insurance. And I helped them with it because that's what I told them I would do. Financially, but I did see their bill because I had to pay it,
mm-hmm.
and it was for a cataract surgery. It was above $4,000 because they didn't get that Medicare, because Medicare is federal, and they can say, "Look, I love your suggestion, guys, but we're not paying that," and then that's the end of it. You know, a private citizen can't say that. You have to pay what they do, or the most common reason for bankruptcy is unpaid hospital bills. You know, you get those loaded on top of you and then you're done.
You know, I think that insurance is probably one of the worst things that ever happened to medical care. Okay, my daughter had been sick and she passed out at work and they called the ambulance and took her to the emergency room. They wanted to do a CAT scan. Well, by this time my daughter was around and she's a little bit like me and pretty feisty. And she's like, and she does not, she has insurance, but it's Obamacare and $11,000 deductible.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was.
These are the people I'm talking about, by the way. Yeah.
So she's going to have to pay this money out of pocket. So she says, how much is that going to cost? They would not tell her. She said, well, you're not going to do it. They finally brought somebody from billing. They wrote it on a piece of paper and slipped it to her. $1,245 for a CAT scan that she did not need.
Right.
The reason she passed out is because she has gallbladder problems and she hadn't eaten. Well, now then the second part, she had gallbladder surgery a week ago Monday. The hospital, now she went in at 6:30 in the morning. She was home by 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The hospital bill was over $16,000.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the facility fee. Now, they won't get all that, but again, because it depends. After the $11,000 deductible, if she met that by some reason, she's too young to meet that. But if you had a lower deductible, your insurance would kick in, and then they would get by with it. Now, all of a sudden, they got all their money. You didn't know about it. Hey, no harm, no foul. We're done. But with a person like this, all this comes to, it's like, wait a second, I don't have that money. Let's talk about prices, and they have to do that. And you'll find out later, if you really question, those fees are quite variable. And you could easily go right into tort reform with that, by the way, because the reason they wanted a CAT scan so bad, those doctors knew she was okay. I know these docs, they're smart, they know. But what if she wasn't, and what if they didn't get a CAT scan?
Well, actually, once she saw the doctor, he was good with it. In fact, he said, I wish more patients were like that. The thing is, but people have an insurance, they don't know and they don't care how much things cost.
No.
And that drives up the price.
It does.
Time now for another short break so we can hear from our sponsors.
You know, I'd like to comment on something that price-wise, it troubles me. I went to get a prescription filled. Well, normally I can get my prescriptions filled down at the base and doesn't cost me anything. But for convenience or whatever, I went to a regular pharmacy. And they said, the copay for that is $12. And I said, well, last time I got some at the pharmacy, it was only $9. Well, it went up. And she said, you shouldn't be complaining. You know how much that drug actually costs? And I said, no, I don't. I don't pay any attention to it. She said, it was over $1,200.
That's pretty common.
That's crazy.
Whoa! Is it really that expensive to manufacture that drug?
It's not.
I just filled a prescription yesterday for Pataday for allergy eyes, and it's like 2 mils. I mean, little teeny.
It's little.
$150 was my part of the pay.
Yeah. And you know, my regimen after a cataract surgery can be just as much as a copay for cataract surgery. Because you know, again, you could go segue into tort reform, but I mean, there are certain medications that have been shown to do better with certain pathogens you can get after eye surgery, so we all have to use that because in court, you could very easily be saying, well, you know, this antibiotic, although less expensive, it appears from my reading is not as effective as the other antibiotic. It's like, well, no, but that's not a normal pathogen found after surgery. Well, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if it was more effective or not. So no, it's not as effective against the pathogen that by chance was found after the surgery. You're done. So, you know, we have to use these antibiotics, and they cost a certain amount of money. You know, and so there are a lot of things about the system that need to be changed.
Doctor, what could we as a citizens group concerned about these things, what could we do to try to alleviate some of this?
We have a lobbyist for our CON, and she said there is, I'll send this to you. I'm not really good with acronyms and everything because I just know what I know, honestly. Right. But she said that
words are better than acronyms.
I think so too. Sometimes I struggle with those after my fall college. But I think she said that the FCC basically was saying, you know, we want to change healthcare, and they're going to give they want to hear from citizens, and she said they're dead serious about this. She's going to next week send me the link, and I'll forward it to all of you, and you can write whatever you want on there. And, you know, obviously with this group, it would be very constructive because you'd have your facts, and that's great. You know, if you're a citizen by yourself and you're just pretty much mad and you're just saying things that are, it's not going to work really well. But if you, with this combined force, it works really well. And they want to hear. And I'm going to tell everybody, you know, first of all, talk about CON. And again, I almost have a religious conviction against this law. I mean, I've looked to champion some causes, and I've thought, gosh, I like that one too, but I don't know enough about it. This one I know enough about and I have a voice about. So this is something that I'm not picking out because it's going to make me a millionaire, because it will not.
It's not going to make you popular with the hospital either.
No. In fact, my consultant said he's pretty sure one of the other consultants there was calling my CEO at the exact time that the petition was presented today. So, but you know, I mean, Lord knows I'd love to be popular, but at the same time, you know, I'm not afraid to fight people.
Can they blackball you too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you like to sleep in that. Of course, they'll probably make that hard too. But
do they blackball you as far as making recommendations or referrals then? Is that how they get back at you?
The great thing about me is, I mean, I have a pretty thriving business, and I'm happy for that. And honestly, the roughest thing about me with them is I don't need them for anything. And that's why a lot of the orthopedic surgeons are sitting around thinking, I'd love to do what Jay's doing, but I can't. My specialty has grown to such, through technology, leaps and bounds, that I don't need them for their inpatient. I don't need them for their facilities. I don't need them for anything. It's just they're clinging to the days when you had cataract surgery and you put sandbags around your head right. and stayed in the hospital for 6 or 7 days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like a lot of other issues. They fight educating citizens. Because yeah. if they find out, this is going to change. And then they got to figure out some other way to make money and make it seem, you know, like they're being very, very...
Sunlight is the best at disinfectant.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It is.
We welcome you to our watchdog group.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely a watchdog.
I noticed.
Doctor, the people here tonight are part of our Legislative Action Committee, and you mentioned a couple of things earlier. You mentioned Michael Speciale that you had been talking to, which we meet with quite often. And you mentioned tort reform, which is some legislation that we proposed and have presented to Michael and Norm Sanderson, and they're working on that. And the purpose for having you here tonight was to help educate us on the CON, because we are going to be proposing legislation for that. So we thank you for all of your input. It's quite informative and shocking at the same time.
But made my blood pressure go up.
yeah, it does do that. But they charge extra for that
too. Fortunately, I have low blood pressure.
All right, folks. Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of Wake Up Call. And I hope our conversation with Dr. Singleton has enlightened you on the need to get involved in changing this certificate of need law. And right now, in the North Carolina legislature, is House Bill 200. Which is a short title, Amend Certificate of Need Laws. And it's a bill to be entitled an act exempting diagnostic centers, ambulatory surgical facilities, gastrointestinal endoscopy rooms, and psychiatric hospitals from Certificate of Need Review, prohibiting the state medical facilities plan from limiting the number of operating rooms and gastrointestinal endoscopy rooms, and enhancing licensing requirements for the development, acquisition, or replacement of ambulatory surgical facilities. Now, folks, it's very important that you get on board. Like Dr. Singleton said, they have a lobbyist working on it, and you yourself can perform the role of lobbyist just by contacting your legislators and be a watchdog for CCTA. Folks, cctaxpayers.com for more information. Enjoyed being with you today. See you again next week.